WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
You'll never get free. Lamb to the slaughter. What you gonna do when there's blood in the water? The price of your greed is your son and your daughter. What you gonna do when there's blood in the water? Look me in my eyes. Tell me everything's not fine. All the people ain't hurt.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's going to be a wild show. This thing we just watched was a wild show.
Oh, my God.
We're getting into all of that. You can tweet the show at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. You can interact with us live at WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com. You can come to Twitch.tv/WTLive as well. Pass along your thoughts and opinions, all that fun, happy stuff. Because it's The Rack Extra, I guess, in a way. Reviewing NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4.
And, you know, as with most sequels, they get lesser with every time you see it. This was not lesser by any way, shape, or form.
No.
This was maybe the best one yet. I mean, good God. But before we get fully into it, we do have a guest. So we should introduce our guest before we just gush over this show.
Hailing from the lonely office in the basement brings to us the hardest working man working for the Eva Marie fan club. The assistant to the assistant to the assistant regional analyst. The intern. King Kittens.
Can I get a cigarette, please? I need to bask in this afterglow right now.
Oh my God, was this good? Was this so good? LeMans, I'm going to address your comment when we get to that match, because I do want to talk about that.
We'll get to
but
that.
But yeah, this was just overview of this show, which when we said in the preview, this is going to be a good show. Just the way that they had stacked the card, there wasn't really a bad match on this card. In fact, the only weak point was really EC3 and Dream, and that was not a weak point at all tonight. Everything was spot on. Everything was pretty much perfect. I mean, they could not have pulled off a better show if they tried any harder.
I'm going to drop some Eastern wrestling analysis on you. This was
okay.
This was a 10 bagel spectacular.
10 bagels? Oh my god.
Full of cream cheese.
Ew, yeah, Rock, it's got smear.
Was this a 12 and a half star
pay-per-view? No. One, it's not a pay-per-view. No. It's not a pay-per-view.
You know what I mean.
It's a network special.
Network event.
No, it's just give it 10. It's all 10.
It's all okay. 10.
It's all 10. Anyway, this was a hell of a show.
This was a hell of a show. I say we don't waste any time. We just jump into it. We're going to talk about the first match on the card, which was the lads, British Strong Style, taking on Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong for the NXT Tag Team Championships. This was your opener. This set the tone for the entire show, and this was absolutely fantastic, which I think we all knew it was going to be. These four cannot have a bad match if they try, but Tyler Bate showed up tonight.
He did. Brent.
In a big way.
Brent, I got a question for you. This was supposed to be the softest match of the night, right?
Oh, yeah. I wish it had been a little bit more hard-hitting.
I wanted more chin locks and arm bars. I mean, come on. Like,
yeah, I wanted jerks. A rest hold, you know?
Y'all are jerks.
Feet under Oh my god, they tried to just knock each other out of the fucking park. Between Trent Seven and his stiff-ass clothesline and punches, and plus Tyler Bate, I'm sorry, I want to be Tyler Bate when I grow up. I really do.
He was amazing tonight. We saw power, strength, speed, agility. He learned how to fly a little bit. Trent Seven learned how to fly a little bit. Did you notice when he drove through the ropes, it was the bottom rope, not the middle rope? Because he couldn't get up that high. But hey, he dove, which is awesome.
The thing that amazes me is, and we talked about this during our live chat, Tyler Bate is 21 years old, 170 pounds, and had a guy on his back doing a stalling German. Holy God!
He's a strong boy. He is a strong boy. If you follow him on Instagram, that's all he posts is like workout videos.
That boy eats his Wheaties.
I mean, he all he does is strength trains, and it shows because he's a damn beast, and he's 21. We're gonna give him the Velveteen Dream treatment. He's 21, y'all. Think about that.
I can't wait until the WWE decides to, I don't know, build something around him.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there anything out there that they could, like, you know, put Tyler Bate in to really showcase him, to make him even more of a star than he already is?
I got it.
You got it?
205 Live.
Rock Corner.
How
you
dare
shut your
you?
Mouth with your corner.
How dare you insult Tyler Bate in that fashion?
Kidding.
Dude does not deserve that at all. Side note, WWE, please do not put him in 205 Live when you call him up on the main roster. Please don't do that to him. He deserves all the things and more. But yeah, no. I mean, there was some beautiful storytelling in this, especially at the end of the match where you had Tyler in a submission hold, and Trent gets up on the, and he's been in the hold for a hot minute. Trent gets up on the apron, and he's got the towel in his hand, and he's waving the towel around, and it's like, oh my god, Trent, don't do it! Don't do it! Don't throw it! Please don't throw it! And he's like, no, I can't! I can't do it! Cause it's like, oh my god, is he gonna betray Tyler Bate? Is he gonna screw him? Oh shit! Is British Strong Style gonna break up in front of us? No!
It was,
please!
It was a nice callback to the matchup like 3 or 4 weeks ago where Mustache Mountain lost the belts when Tyler threw in the towel because Trent was in the hold. Such a nice callback to it, and Trent's like, no, I'm not gonna do it. No, he's a fighter. He's gonna do it. Cause they worked over Tyler a lot. They worked over Trent a lot throughout this entire matchup. And each guy sold so well. And then when they made their comebacks, the false finishes over and over and over again. Like, Bate hit the Tyler driver 97 and Strong kicked out and Tyler's face was like he was about to cry.
Yeah, it was.
They hit the double team maneuver off the top rope, when Seven had him up in the, for like a reverse DVD.
The Burning Hammer,
and hit him with, you know, the flying knee. And again, another two count, and the entire crowd just lost their air for a second because they thought it was over.
We all thought it was over. We're all sitting there, and we're like, what?
Like,
wait, that should be it. Like, they hit that maneuver, and it's like, O'Reilly's dead on the mat. Like, he's just dead. And you're like, that's it. That's got to be it, right? That's the finish. And then O'Reilly kicks out, and you're like, what?
Yeah. There was one spot a little earlier. It's like Tyler's trying to get to the tag. So he's crawling and crawling. He's fighting off Roderick multiple times, like shoving him out of the ring and stuff like that. And he's crawling to Trent. And then when he's ready to make the tag, Trent gets pulled down. Trent then knocks out O'Reilly, I think it was. And then got back up. He finally got the tag and then went crazy. But it was like, it was a nice, like, Okay, we're going to do the spot we all know. You're going to pull them off, and then you go have the heels go back for it. No, the baby faces stayed with it. They knew the spot, came right back. Great storytelling throughout this entire matchup.
Yeah, they did a lot of good back and forth. The isolations that they did with the baby faces were really good. The heel work that you got from the Undisputed Era just worked. Dear God, every time Roderick Strong hits a backbreaker, it looks just crushing.
There's a reason why he's the Messiah of the Messiah. Backbreaker. I'm just saying.
It's so pretty to watch.
Well, and one of my favorite spots was, and we've seen this at another takeover recently, but it's pulled off so well when I believe Seven was in the submission. Tyler's trying to come in for the save. O'Reilly jumps on him with the guillotine, and you just have Tyler Bate, that strong little peanut, in a guillotine, picks Riley up and just runs him right into Roderick Strong to break up the submission again.
Which was great, a great spot.
These guys can just work so well together between the four of them.
Agreed. I mean, and I know this was the blow-off. I know that we're not going to get this again probably for a while, if ever. But this was just superb. This was like next level. And this was your opener.
It finished all the total elimination and the victory for Undisputed Era. Whew.
But we're not done there, folks.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
God.
Oh, no. So after working, what, 15 minutes destroying each other?
18 minutes and 6 seconds.
So 18 minutes, almost 20 minutes, these four went. Undisputed Era, standing tall.
Hold on. I wouldn't say standing.
Okay. They were leaning tall.
Staggering around.
Staggering around. And, you know, waiting in the wings, ready to get whoever won this match, are the War Raiders. They come out. They steamroll Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong.
No, it wasn't a steamroll. Let's call it what it was. Kyle O'Reilly was murdered in that ring tonight.
Yeah, twice.
He was lawn darted and buried with two moves.
I'm actually watching the gifs of it. So basically, they came in, they beat up Strong, they threw him out of the ring, they got hold of O'Reilly. He gets tossed up in the air, the big one catches him, and then just slams him with all of his weight on it, and it just, O'Reilly's dead. He's just dead. He's laying in the ring, just twitching. And then, the big one jumps and launches Roderick Strong. So your NXT Championship are just like laying there flat around the ring, and the War Raiders are standing tall, and it's like, oh, y'all are screwed.
Oh, no,
y'all are screwed.
There was the one other move. So the big guy, who's Killian Dane, I don't know, twin, light, whatever you want to call him.
Cousin.
Picks up Kyle O'Reilly again, because, you know, killing him once isn't enough. And then they do has him up with the flying leg drop double team and basically buries him again. To which I think everyone just was going, oh God. And like I said before, these guys are this big. They're not supposed to move that agile. The fact that they do should freak out everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, this was your opener, y'all. This was your opener. I mean, you're just sitting there and after one match and one attack, you're like, oh hell. Oh hell. There's four more. Oh God, I'm not gonna make it. But we made it. We made it because after this, having to follow this was EC3 and Velveteen Dream.
Before we get to that, Brent, go back over the picks for this match if you have them.
Yep. Everyone had Undisputed Era.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. All right, let's get to the next match.
So up next, we have EC3 taking on Velveteen Dream. And what we all kind of said was going to be potentially the weakest match on this card, although I did say it could be a potential sleeper.
You did.
So I did say that.
All right.
But I mean...
Hold on. You want to go with the breaking news now that was just released?
What's the breaking news?
Brent, drop it on them.
Okay, so according to WWE Twitter, we have our first official match for WWE Evolution. Current Raw Women's Champion Alexa Bliss will be facing some Stratus faction in Trish Stratus at Evolution Sunday, October 28th.
My ovaries cannot handle that.
The sass in that ring alone is going to be amazing.
I just really hope they have Trish show up and feud with Alexa because, oh my God, that would just be beautiful. That really would. I may cry.
So yeah, that matchup came out earlier today, I would say it was. Here's what they shouldn't do in the Barclays Center. show WWE still shot in the arena because people saw that. And they're like, the internet was crazy. Like, oh my God, this match is going to happen. Can't wait for it. And there were people like, nah, that's a fake picture. That's such a fake picture. She wasn't holding the bell in the picture. I got, come on now. Like, that was just a fake picture. No, it's a real deal. It's going
to
happen.
It's a thing.
It is a thing.
And who better to put Trish up against than Alexa Bliss?
Again, we've been talking about it on this show forever. Who's the top person on the heel side for the women's roster? Alexa Bliss. She's your star right there. Makes sense with Trish. All right. Velveteen Dream EC3. Let's get to it.
So, Dream opted not to put Ethan's face on his dick.
Which was a little disappointing. Little bit.
Which was a little disappointing, but he did have Call Me Up Vince on his ass, so that balances.
Okay, so we need to talk about that for a second. One, early on in the matchup, you couldn't see it on the Tron. But then there's this loud roar in the crowd like 5-6 minutes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they put the match on the Tron so everyone can see it. And everyone saw the back of the tights. And that's why everyone was like, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah, it was pretty spectacular. It was like, oh Jesus.
Because it was right after the DDT, the twisting DDT spot on the ramp. It was like, everyone thought they were reacting to that. I was like, no, it was like a minute later, they're all reacting. It was like, they just showed everything on the Tron. They saw the tights. Crowd went, oh my God.
They were reacting to Velveteen Dream's ass. That's what they were doing.
They were.
Legit.
And can we also talk about not only just the entrance, but the video before the entrance?
Oh, that was hot.
Again, WWE video department, you guys killed it with that.
Oh, they
just killed it.
I don't know who their editors are, but those people deserve raises. I think I actually follow the guy in charge of that department on LinkedIn. And yeah, that whole group just like deserves a raise because the work they have put out, especially recently, has been nothing short of phenomenal.
And here's the thing. They just hired someone really good for the department as well. And I think
they did.
We'll talk about that Thursday, who they brought in. But yeah, this matchup was good.
I love the play that they did between the two of them. It started off hot with EC3 being the powerhouse like he should be. And every time Dream tried to do something, like, you know, he would do the slap, all it would do was piss Ethan off. It was a nice play between them.
Go ahead.
This match had it, in terms of this match, there was like a few, but it was just simmering. It wasn't really hot. So it wasn't like they had this burning hatred of each other. They were just fighting for the sake of flirting, essentially, just to really sort of like get that foray. This was foreplay. Just going to call it what it is. This was foreplay.
Okay. You want to talk about it being foreplay? It almost went a little too far. So, EC3... listen.
Well, it always does. Dream is involved.
He knows exactly where I'm going. So,
I know where you're going.
EC3, after doing the foreplay, does a little hip gyration, the Rick Rude thing that Velveteen does. And then Velveteen starts trying to grab at the trunks, and his hand sort of got inside the trunks, and he may have went a little bit inside the butt crack.
Well, you know... play again, making sure he's all ready to go. So,
just saying that happened. Like, the crowd saw some butt crack.
Well, it happens.
Just saying. I don't think he liked being touched there because he jumped once the hand sort of reached the spot.
Yeah, he was a little surprised by that, just a tad. But yeah, no, this was the foreplay match. So they didn't have that burning hatred of each other that some of these other matches had. So they were up against that in terms of adding that, really that spice to this match, to this feud.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, okay, they don't really hate each other. They're just fighting really for the sake of fighting. So they had to find a way to make this interesting and tell the story of the match without having that. And I really feel like they achieved that because it's basically, okay, we're just going to see who's better and we're going to flirt with each other and then we're probably going to bang after this. So, you know, it's fine.
It's totally fine. And like that DDT spot on the ramp, which is like, it's a combination of like a Sister Abigail setup and a DDT, because it's like he sets him up sort of backwards like the Sister Abigail, but then flips over into a DDT, which is awesome.
Oh,
it was so pretty.
By the way, I just want to say that, you know, in terms of Dream, Bray Wyatt was the slut. I'm pretty sure the slut is dead. Long live the slut and Dream. Velveteen Dream has had more boyfriends in the last
he gets around
year than Bray has. So it's like the ultimate slut is here, and I need him to meet Bray Wyatt. Immediately.
That That would be interesting.
That needs to be decided.
We had some good near falls in the end. The elbow drop on the ring apron, which was nice. Hit him on the hardest part of the ring, just so everyone's aware. Hardest part of the ring with the hard elbow for the 1-2-3. Velveteen Dream beats EC3.
Not going to complain about this. Not going to complain about this in the least. It was a well-deserved win by Dream. He then flashes the back of his tights to the cameras, like you do.
And like we do.
The NXT analyst, TJ Omega. I'm a man with a brand.
He's here.
What's up?
You know, it's
making the grand entrance, much like the Velveteen Dream.
It's one of I also have a request for Vince to call me up on painted on my ass.
I thought it was like call me up Scott, but you know, okay.
Been there, not getting into it.
Look. No, that's tattooed somewhere else.
Oh, hey now.
I thought it said welcome aboard, but that was just me.
So,
all right. Since you're late-ish,
not CB Radio, it's not midnight-ish, it's 10-ish.
So anyway, since you just joined in, do you have thoughts on the opener and Ethan and Dream?
Thoughts on the opener? I think it's become NXT tradition for the guys in the opening match to attempt to kill each other and themselves.
Okay.
that will sum it up. I'm sure I cannot analyze it any better than you guys already have. But yeah, that match was fairly insane.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Bate is a monster.
God.
And the Velveteen Dream EC3.
I don't know how, but Velveteen keeps impressing me. I mean, I think we had two matches in a row where we just look at one guy and go, he is only this age and he's already this good.
Yep.
And he's only going to get better.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we'll move on to the next match in a second, but we need some fashion advice from the intern. Matt Riddle's in the crowd. Go ahead, Brent.
God.
I like how he's doing it, not me.
Well, no, I'm just, well, yeah, because the first thing I said when I saw him, all right, I understand he's, what, king of the dude bras? Homeboy, you do not wear a suit with a ball cap. You just don't. I don't care if you're coming out of the Sigma Chi house or not. You don't do it. And also, please put some money in and get yourself, I don't know, sneakers, loafers, regular shoes. Don't go with a suit and fucking sandals either.
At least you didn't wear socks with them.
I don't care. That has been your fashion advice for the day, apparently.
So, you need anything to that, Lindsay?
No, he covered it.
All right, so circling back before we get to the match, because Omega wasn't here when we reacted to it, at the WWE Evolution, it will be Alexa Bliss taking on Trish Stratus, Omega.
Oh, my dear God, yes.
Okay, you have the same reaction. We're good.
We do not have to get you off the call.
I mean, pure fanboyism makes me wish it was Trish and Bayley, but you know what? Trish and Alexa is such a good pairing.
Omega, promo battle, Trish and Alexa. That's all we need to say.
Yeah, that's it. There you go. Sums it up. One reaction right there. So.
I'm mostly just happy that they're not just going, oh, it's Trish and Lita one more time like the good old days. No, show me new stuff.
I think his gangplank just dropped.
I'm at full mast.
All right, moving on.
No, no, that match comes later, Omega.
It is for the North American Championship. It is Adam Cole versus Ricochet.
Speaking of people being at full mast, good lord, this match. Oh my god. Can I have five more, please?
Ricochet and make him the whole card.
There was one move that he did, and it's just, you look at it and go, holy shit.
Okay. I want to go back to Omega's comment. You do not need to duplicate Ricochet for the entire card. Imagine this, everyone. Ricochet, Tyler Bate.
No! 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 Don't make me hope for that. Don't.
It could happen. It's a distinct possibility.
I know it could happen. I know it's a possibility.
I told you one of the dream matches I wanted earlier in the night.
I personally want. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, so Tyler Bate versus Ricochet. And then follow that up with Pete Dunne versus KO. Just picture the two of those guys beating the shit out of one another.
That would be so much fun. Pete Dunne versus anybody like that. Oh, dear God.
God.
So this matchup had some cool moments.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
I like that they went for the Shelton Benjamin Shawn Michaels super kick spot at one point, and the super kick was the super kick was caught. That was hell of amazing.
Come on.
And the follow up.
Tell him the follow up. Just go.
Hey, Ricochet hits the ropes and goes for a backflip off the ropes. Adam Cole catches him square in the neck with a super kick while he's still upside down.
How?
I don't know how you do that without killing the man. I don't know how you time that kick to actually make contact so the slow-mo looks good.
But damn, this was great.
This is everything you could want and more.
The move that got me was when Ricochet and Adam Cole are playing cat and mouse. Cole's rolling out of the ring to avoid moves. And Ricochet, he's standing on the apron. And Ricochet, just out of nowhere, comes running up, jumps over the top rope, and hits a Hurricane Rana off the apron to the floor. Both men, I don't know if they have, you know, the care or wherewithal with their body, but dear God, that was so beautiful.
I've never seen someone with as much confidence and awareness of what their body can do than Ricochet. That is not a spot you pull off because you're going to the floor. Like, you're flipping around upside down to the floor with nobody to catch you. You don't do that spot unless you know exactly how your body's going to move and exactly how it's going to land. And Ricochet does it without fear.
And having someone that can take said move as well.
Well, we've seen moves from the apron to the floor before. It's great that he pulled off the move, but it's, you know, it's just going off the top, outside, flipping upside down, and then falling to the floor. You gotta have some major balls to even attempt it.
Pretty much. Can't add anything to it. I really can't.
I think we've all established Ricochet has the equipment for that. Clearly. I mean, man has no fear.
The Hurricanes are outside, then the 6:30 for the win.
And it was a great, great win. Like, it was a nice surprise to see the title change hands, because I don't think we were really expecting it, but it's like, it feels right. And I know there are a lot of people, I think, pissed off that Ricochet won, which I don't know why you're pissed off. Please, somebody, if you are, please explain that to me in a semi-intelligent fashion, because...
Good luck.
This was fantastic. Adam Cole has been a wonderful North American champion, but it's like, I hate to say it was time, but it was almost time. I mean, it was like, he didn't really have a lot of challengers. I'm pretty sure they want to point him at the title, the main title, as soon as they can. So it's like, okay, he's brought the belt. He gave the belt legitimacy. Now we're going to give it to Ricochet, and we're going to let Ricochet just put the shine that belt deserves on it, because the man is fantastic and he deserves to be a champion just as much as Adam Cole does. Sorry, but it's true. He should actually be the main champion, but he'll get there.
So we gotta go back to a spot when, okay, so there's a spot where Cole throws Ricochet basically into the front row. Now, here's what's interesting about that spot, just based off of Twitter. It was Britt Baker in the front row. No, Adam Cole's girlfriend.
Oops.
Love you, honey.
Her tweet.
So you know how when a baseball player tosses a foul ball to a girl in those stands?
Here, honey, I have a wrestler for you.
Surprise!
Her tweet was, when your boyfriend accidentally almost kills you with King Ricochet.
I don't think she gets to take Ricochet home, though, like a foul ball.
No.
I'm pretty sure she would take him home, though.
Bay.
Tessa may have something to say about that. Anyway.
Moving on. So from there, by the way, who did we have in picks?
Oh, yeah. Brent, go over the last two matches we didn't get to.
Okay, so for Velveteen versus EC3, Omega and the 8-Ball both picked the Dream. The three of us went EC3. However, in Adam Cole versus Ricochet, Brock was the only one to pick Ricochet.
What was that?
You heard me.
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
So up next we have...
Thank you.
No, before we do that, in the crowd... That sparked the whole Pete Dunne versus Kevin Owens thing. Kevin Owens and Mark Henry were in the crowd.
Yay!
And Kevin Owens actually looked like he was enjoying himself.
I think he was.
Oh God, I'm back home.
Yes. Can I stay? I don't want to get murdered tomorrow by a giant man.
He's like, wait, all my friends are here except for Sammy. Can I just stay here? Please? Hunter, can that be a thing? So anyway, moving on from that, we have the NXT Women's Championship on the line as Kairi Sane takes on Shayna Baszler. I mean, we've seen this before. We saw this at the Mae Young Classic finale. We've seen this on NXT. These two showed up, ready to fight, ready to go. They put on an excellent performance that I can't complain about. I really can't.
Shayna had a really good... This was Shayna's best matchup to date, but that just goes to show you what, how far she's improved in a year. Sane was really good. They told the perfect story.
And Rock, who was there at ringside?
Oh, yeah, Ronda Rousey and the rest of the Four Horsewomen.
Jessamyn Duke and the third one.
The third one.
Does anyone else know her name?
This is no. Why I said Ronda Rousey and the other Four Horsewomen, so I didn't need to use the names.
Ronda Rousey and, you know, the two What's Her Buckets.
But Brent, go ahead.
If you can't complete the maneuver, don't attempt it in the first place, dude. Just
that's why I went simple. He wanted to show how smart he was.
Yeah, Rock still sounds like he knows what he's talking about. You sound like a clod.
What else is new? That's why I'm the intern, damn it.
And there goes his internet just to top it. Oh, Lord. Okay. All right. Anyway, back to the match. Let's get back on the track because we want a Fortnite. By the way, before we continue.
She's going to divert us now.
I am totally going to divert us because, you know, as if this show wasn't crazy enough, Woods and Breeze and Alexa and who else? There's one other.
Ember.
We're live streaming.
Part of the show.
Part of the show.
And playing Fortnite.
And playing Fortnite on Twitch.
Yeah. Marina Sharif is the other one.
Shafir,
whatever. Close enough. She's the one married to Roddy, correct?
I think so.
Roddy?
Roderick Strong.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she's Mrs. Strong.
So there you go. Someone had Google and looked it up and sounded halfway smart. Anyway, moving back to this matchup.
This was spectacular. This was a perfect conclusion to these two's battles, although I'm sure it's far from concluded. You saw some great counters. You saw some great moves between the two.
Here's the thing. We've been seeing this build on TV. We've seen Kairi sort of build this new aggressive side. And we got it here. Like, she really showed it here in this matchup with the multiple elbows.
Oh, God.
Well, that, and you started to see, as we talked about on Thursday, she was starting to implement some of these submissions that we hadn't seen before when she tried the stretch muffler early in the bout to Shayna, and she's really working the back.
Right. She goes for her finish, and then Baszler quickly reversed it. That was like, ooh, that was perfect. And then Shayna took over with her with a heel hook, and then Zane was going to the, I think she did, she dove to the outside, did the big dive on the outside, threw Shayna back in. Was going for the insane elbow on the top rope. Shayna got her knees up, goes for the clutch, but somehow Sane flips over, 1, 2, 3, and knew.
And I loved Kairi's reaction to this. It was just perfect. She breaks down. She starts crying because she's so happy that she's won, that she's the NXT Women's Champion. Shayna is devastated. But just Kairi's whole reaction was just so perfect. She's so filled with joy. And, you know, it's like you can tell this is a journey. She came here for this, to get to this point. She's finally reached that goal because it's like we said in the preview, it's like she really almost has to win simply because it's like you're doing the Mae Young Classic again. That's getting ready to start. She's the inaugural winner and she hasn't won the title yet. Not that that's a guarantee that she should win the title, but it's like, what is the point of the Mae Young Classic if your winner doesn't go on to really do a whole lot? Which, yeah. Up until this point, Kairi Sane had not really done a lot. She had been present and she'd been having really great matches, but it's like they hadn't really moved her fully into that title picture yet. So the fact that she is now your NXT Women's Champion, that solidifies not only her, but also that whole tournament. It makes it legit because it's like, look, you have this incredibly talented woman who has been kicking ass, now our champion, and she took down the bully. She wasn't going to be taking any Shayna's shit, and she just beat her.
You know, someone who's working production really wanted to do that highlight reel of the previous Mae Young winner and cap it off with the championship victory. just to show, like, the winner of this tournament is going to mean a lot.
Yeah. And Hunter did him a solid. He did the video department a solid. They've been doing such great work. He's like, here, all right, we'll give you one. Sure. Mm-hmm. That was it.
Well, and I thought one of the things that was really good during the match, like you brought up, and visually right during the middle of the match, was Shayna's been the bully the whole time. You know, she was kicking at the calf. She was working Kairi over. And then halfway through the match, Kairi just hulked up for a second, and Shayna got into her face essentially and was just trying to back her down, and Kairi stood up to her. And at that moment, you were kind of like, oh shit.
Yeah, she was done with Shayna Baszler. She's like, that's it. I've had enough of you. I've had enough of your shit.
Yeah, and it was something that I think needed to happen. Like I said, starting with that Nikki match, you need to have someone that could step to her and that wasn't going to be intimidated, that wasn't going to let her play those mind games of, I'll just break you down. And in the end, she was smart enough to realize, oh, this is coming, I'm going to counter it, and got the pin.
I like how the finish kind of plays off to Shayna Baszler's first big loss in NXT, and it's one of the things that is like a continuous weakness for her, is she's going up against much more experienced opponents. So one little slip, you go for a move too many times, you're going to pay for it. You're trying so hard to get that submission, you forget about your shoulders. It's rookie mistakes that you would expect someone to make in their first year of being a wrestler, no matter how experienced they are. And I kind of like that that's what costs her her matches, because it's not like, okay, her moves are brutal, her submissions are deadly, but she keeps forgetting fundamentals, and that's the only thing that's costing her. It keeps her dangerous, but still gives her a vulnerability so she can believably lose.
Yeah.
It's her overconfidence that ultimately gets her. She thinks, I can submit you when I want, and it's that kind of, no, you can't.
Yeah, it's, I can outsmart you, and here's how I'm going to outsmart you, for her opponent to her. So it's like, they know she's looking at the overall, she's not looking at the little stuff, and it's the little stuff that they can trip her up on, like Omega said. So this was fantastic. Everything on this show was fantastic. And so who did we all have?
So on this one, let me see. Omega had Kairi, I had Kairi, Lindsay had Kairi, the 8-Ball had Kairi. Oh, Rock had Shayna Baszler.
The inverse of the last match.
Right?
Yeah.
Notice how he's quiet.
Someone's trying to get some real information that's breaking now. So keep going.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Breaking news, y'all.
Yeah, we got some breaking news, but we got to get through this, man, before we can talk about it.
Is it good or is it bad?
We'll find out.
All right. So in your main event, this was not a contest. This was not a match. This was attempted murder on both sides. We had Johnny Gargano taking on Tommaso Ciampa for the NXT Championship in a last man standing match. Can I just say, right off the bat, I love that Tommaso Ciampa's entrance music is nothing but the boos from the crowd as he walks to the ring, the smug, cocky SOB that he is. It's like, I'm sitting here and I'm watching him walk out, and I was like, that's what they tried to do with Dolph Ziggler, but it didn't work. And Tommaso Ciampa just, like, does it effortlessly. Like, it's so incredible. And yeah, it just went up from there. This match started hot.
He jumped him before the bell.
Yeah, he jumped him before the bell, before he even got his ring jacket off. Both of them. Johnny jumps Tommaso and just starts beating the crap out of him.
Speaking of ring jackets, Omega, the visual of Johnny's symbol, did it look a little different tonight?
It looked a little Venom.
Yeah.
I'm so glad comic I wasn't
nerd
the only
comes
one that,
to the ring.
I'm so glad I wasn't the only one that noticed that. I was like, huh.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, that's interesting.
It's like whoever they hire to do all the paint for Finn Balor has been out of work. So I was like, okay, we'll let you do Johnny's jacket.
And they're like, okay.
He's not going dark at all. No. No, he's not.
Oh, no. He's not totally being corrupted to more violent thoughts.
And what this match was we saw how dark Johnny has gotten, how far Johnny is willing to go to get what he wants. And like I said, this was attempted murder.
Yeah.
This just was straight up, they tried to kill each other multiple times over, and a timekeeper got involved in this.
It wasn't just a guy ringside. It wasn't the timekeeper. The guy got taken down and then thrown on top of Johnny, and after Tommaso's throwing, like, the barricade and everything on top of Johnny just to keep him down.
Okay.
And this
okay,
is
I love a production person gets involved, gets taken out. That poor production person, damn it, he had a family. And then the timekeeper's area just gets imploded, thanks to Tommaso and Johnny. Like, it just, there was nothing left after they got done with it.
I love how someone just randomly ringside gets stand.
Yeah.
And then just becomes part of the debris.
It's a piece of prop at that point.
We're pretty sure somebody took a crutch to the face that was not Johnny or Tommaso.
Someone picked up a souvenir, but not in a nice way, from Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, Ciampa put Gargano through a table at one point. They had a spot where the two tables were stacked up, so he had one table down and one table with the legs up. And then when he went over that table, and the fact that he did not bang his head completely on that pole
is a miracle.
That's a scary table position. I don't recall when I've seen it. I get the idea. You're making a double thick table. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's actually a cool idea for a spot. That's a scary looking spot.
Because if he was off by an inch.
I thought of that spot. Like, surely you go through, the table, like, perpendicular to it. You're trying to go across it. Mm-hmm. Basically, so that you're hitting nothing but the flat part. You're going between the legs. Any other angle, you're hitting a lot more metal, or you're risking impaling a part of yourself.
Well,
and then they went at another angle.
Well, and then there was the one spot where Johnny almost up in the middle of the ring steps that were faced up the wrong way.
Yeah. God.
When he landed that dive to the outside, I was like, oh God, please move that or land perfectly. And he missed it by about an inch.
Yeah.
He was a little tired at that point.
They all were.
We brought back the handcuffs in this matchup as well.
Yeah, there were handcuffs, there were crutches, there were chairs, there were tables, there were production people, suitcases.
Pulling up the mats, pulling up the ring. They had a lot of nice callbacks to some of the other matches.
And then we went back to where it all started.
Back to the stage.
Back to the stage, back to the wall, where it all began. And Gargano handcuffs him to the stage, the scaffolding. And there are points where Ciampa's like, they're counting him down, and he's like, he has to get up. And you see his face like, I know death is coming. I know death is coming. It's gonna come.
It's not even Tommaso. It's Johnny. Yeah. You look at Johnny and just the depths of depravity that Johnny has sunk to try and beat Tommaso. He is a man obsessed with beating Tommaso Ciampa. And you see that, especially at the end on the stage. You see how far Johnny Gargano has gone. You see the Johnny wrestling, the happy-go-lucky guy that we all love, is gone. He is Johnny Gargano, and he's about to straight up murder Tommaso. Straight up do it in public. Doesn't care who watches. He's gone that far that he has resolved himself that no matter what, he's gonna win. And if he has to take off Tommaso's head to do it, then by God, that's what he's gonna do. Like, you see that. You see that in him. And there's a point where Tommaso, you're right, he knows death is coming, and he has the fear of God in his face as he's looking at Johnny, because he's handcuffed, he can't get away, and Johnny's reached that point. Tommaso's like, crap, I'm about to die.
And that's when the begging starts of, please, I'm sorry. And Johnny just ultimately, you hear him, you're sorry, I don't care.
Yep. You destroyed everything, and now I'm gonna destroy you. And then he rolls down his knee pad. And this is after Johnny has slammed Tommaso's face into the screens, after he's elbowed him, after all this stuff. Johnny rolls down his knee pad, and he goes for a running knee off the right into Tommaso's head. He rolls over onto a table, over the equipment, onto a table, I should say, on the other side. He's gripping his knee, screaming in pain, and it's like, oh, please, God, please don't hurt yourself. Tommaso's laying flat on his back. He's out. Out in quotations, and Johnny rolls off the table and he's on the floor, and the ref starts counting, and we're sitting here and I'm watching it and I'm like, oh my God, are they going to do a double count out on this?
That's what
we all prepared for this?
That's what we thought. We were sitting here talking about it. I was like, is that going to happen? Is this going to be a thing?
Because, I mean, honestly, I would have almost been okay with that kind of ending, because it would have been perfect. It's like, no, there isn't a winner in this. They just both went to the point that they tried to kill each other and they ended up screwing each other, which is really apt for this entire feud. It would be perfect, but no. At the last second, Tommaso Ciampa rolls over off the stage, and by the grace of God and a pair of handcuffs, he's able to stay on his feet long enough to beat Johnny Gargano and retain the NXT championship.
All right. Finish that up.
And we're all like, we're sitting here like, holy crap. And Johnny's laying there. He's in pain. He's gripping his knee and he knows what's happened. He hears the bell go and he's like, no, 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 no. And they unhook Tommaso. Tommaso celebrates. He leaves. And Johnny's laying there in pain, right? And Tommaso's like, raise my damn hand, which was just hilarious.
Then he left.
Then he left, right? And so they have to get Johnny up. And Johnny is just like, I can't believe it. And so they get him up and they get him on the stage. And he's sitting there on the stage in shock. And it's just like, I can't believe it. I can't believe I couldn't get it done. And as Johnny's sitting there and he knows all the mistakes that he made, like you can see them all running through his head right now, Tommaso walks back out with the title. Johnny's trying to get up to get to him. They're stopping him from getting up because his knee's giving out. And Tommaso just stands there and laughs as Johnny sits there and has to look at it.
Oh, no. He comes out, laughs, but the last image you see is him slowly raising the title over his head to just reinforce the fact of, I still have this.
Yep.
It's the little things that Tommaso does that make him such a good heel.
This was such beautiful storytelling, and you see it in Johnny's face, because Johnny turns back and he's looking at the camera, and it's, he didn't go far enough. He didn't go as far as he needed to. And you see that realization hit him right as it all goes away, like it all closes. And it's just so beautiful.
So LeMahon did not like that ending. I mean, a few people probably didn't like that ending.
Respect, if you didn't like it, that's totally fine.
This is where we're now doing a normal segment on the show starring the intern.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Is it Johnny?
Johnny Gargano. Separated shoulder.
Hashtag blame Brent.
That happened in the match?
Yep, happened in the match. Go ahead, say your piece.
I didn't mean to.
Yes, you did. Don't lie.
No points, but I didn't mean to.
Now, I don't know the full quote, but I'm going off of tweets from the media conference. Triple H said the finish to the Gargano-Ciampa match was supposed to go differently before the injury.
Johnny was supposed to win.
Hmm.
Oh, jeez.
Then he got hurt.
Don't know the full context of the quote, but you can take that for what it was. Was he hurt going in and they changed the finish to that? Possibly. Was he hurt during the match? Possibly. That's just everything that's surrounding it.
So, yeah. But here's the thing. So Johnny Gargano gets hurt. He's got a separated shoulder. That's going to probably put him on the shelf for 6 to 8 weeks, potentially.
Probably about 3 months with rehab.
Okay. So that's 3 months space in between this and the next time that these two come together, which... That gives you the time to let this cool down a little bit. You can have Tommaso being an absolute dick on television about it. And in the meantime, Johnny Gargano has to go home and he has to sit on his couch and he has to rerun this match in his head. And the obsession just deepens. And it's, again, I said this Thursday, how far is Johnny willing to go to get the title? Not only that, beat Tommaso. Is he prepared to become what he hates to get it done? Like, there was just a little shred of Johnny Gargano left tonight. When he comes back, is that shred still going to be there, or is he going to become what he absolutely can't stand to destroy what he can't stand? And that's how we're going to go to a fourth match with this, is it's Johnny's just going to come back, and at some point, I'm not saying right when he comes back, but at some point down the line, we could get that, and we'll see exactly how far Johnny's willing to go.
They should not face off at Survivor Series. Like, that weekend, they should not talk.
No.
The chapter is over. Whether they fight again, who knows? But that chapter has to be done, because... Here's the thing. You have a situation where we've seen how good Tommaso Ciampa is right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's in a personal story. Let's get him out of the personal story and see where it takes us. How good is Tommaso? The next few weeks and months should dictate that.
Yeah. Well, like I brought up on Thursday, this feud needs to simmer a bit before we get burnt out on it. We've had 3 great matches with them. You know, you can always go back to this because the story is there, but you need to give the crowd a breath, because otherwise you're going to waste everything right up front. And then everyone's just going to go, okay, now what?
Yeah.
So, Brent, go over the picks.
So for our championship match, both Omega and I had who was supposed to win the match in Johnny Gargano.
Supposed.
But Rock, Lindsay, and the 8-Ball went with Tommaso Ciampa points. So we have our final results in last place with a record of 2-3. Because the last match decided not to go the way it should have, was your in turn.
Wait, what was that? Say that again.
What? Yeah, what was that?
I finished last. I can admit it.
Okay.
Finished tied for second is our regional analyst, TJ Omega, the host of The Rack, Lindsay Ward, and just her producer, Sir Rockin.
Did we all just lose to the 8-Ball?
I think we all just lost to the 8-Ball.
Winning the picks with a record of 4-1. Only losing the NXT North American title, we lost to a toy.
Actually, not even a toy, a webpage.
We lost to an inanimate object.
Yep. That's happened before on this show. It'll happen again.
Yeah.
Probably tomorrow.
But yeah. All in all, I think we'll take that for getting to watch the network special that we just did.
Little tidbit coming out of this. Triple H didn't see the tights Velveteen was wearing until he saw it on the hard cam.
Oh shit.
Bull crap.
Oh no.
Yes. I love that so much right now.
I almost wish somebody has a video of him seeing that for the first time and just the general reaction to that.
His reaction was probably, "Oh, son of a bitch."
He's like, "Oh, damn it."
Vince is calling him for some reason and he's like, "No, not now, Vince. I'm busy. No, I'm working on a show. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Well, and you know how he got away with it is he probably had something wrapped around his waist. So that way, you know, it's like his butt was covered so you couldn't see it.
Well, the jacket probably went down just enough to obscure part of it because when he first came out and he did something where it like lifted a second. And that's when I typed. I was like, oh, shit.
Right.
That's what it says.
Yep.
Okay, keep going.
He snuck one in there, man. He snuck one in there.
All right. Let's do this again.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Jesus,
what did I do now?
Johnny Gargano, possibly dislocated kneecap.
# blame Brent.
Possibly. Wow, I really did not want him to win tonight. Apparently.
Possibly.
And remember, I asked you about his knee because it was like they're selling. Which is what he was doing, and then there's legit pain, and selling that way too well, where it's like he literally could not put any weight on his leg. And normally you can tell when they're selling a leg injury like that, and it's like, okay, yeah, he's okay, and it's like, no, he could not get up. He legit could not get up on his own power.
Well, when they showed it in slow-mo, when he was going towards the head, and when he took that crate full on with his knee, and all I could think was, yeah, that's not how you usually do that. Usually, you know, you kind of like, you hit it with your quad and go over it. But no, he went straight on with the knee. So, yeah, I think that was legit.
Yeah, and you saw him react to it immediately. Like, immediately he came over it and he was like, his hands were on his knee, gripping his knee in agony the second he was on that table. Like, he had his knee up and he was gripping his knee. Which is like, wow, that was a really fantastic sell. And then it's like, oh, Johnny, I think you hurt yourself. Oh, yeah. Johnny.
Yeah, there's that kind of moment where, and Rock, you've seen this in the NFL games where, you know, a guy's hurt. And we've seen some selling in the WWE where they kind of like writhe around. He was laying flat and he's just hitting the ground. And this, now that I think back upon it, it's that kind of like, yeah, that's what happens when someone like really hurts their knee in the NFL. They're not rolling around on their back because they're just in pain and all they do is just sit there and go, shit, I know something's happened.
Okay. Here's the full statement. He was asked how much went as they expected versus what happened. He said that sometimes stuff happens. Clearly he wasn't planning on Gargano hurting himself. They changed on the fly, but it was supposed to go differently than it did. But the only people that knew that were those who were involved with the planning. He mentioned Dusty Rhodes told him that if he can get 70% of what you see in your mind happens, that's great. So, yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, depending on when he hurt his shoulder, the fact that he still wrestled that kind of match, even if it was like halfway through, kudos to Johnny.
now you gotta wonder when he dislocated the kneecap.
It was probably at the end.
No,
the kneecap was hitting the crate.
No, I think it was before that.
Well, then the kneecap just like
gonna run. I don't think he would have been able to run with the kneecap.
Yeah, the kneecap's something he wouldn't have been able to do anything else on his leg, at least in terms of his knee. After that, the kneecap had to be at the end.
Could have been. We don't know.
And the shoulder could have happened at any point, but I would suspect it might have been either the stairs or probably may have happened when they were doing the dog pile, where they just threw everything on Johnny and Johnny was trying to block it, or right before when Tommaso exploded him into the timekeeper's area. But I mean, it could have really happened at any point in that match because of just how violent it was.
I wonder if it was through the table spot too.
Could have been.
There's just so much to dissect now that we know that those two things have happened.
May have to go back and watch it and see if you can see it. But yeah, this match was an absolute clinic. It was fantastic. And yeah, all the things.
Yeah. Have fun with tomorrow, main roster, with your 7-hour show.
Right?
Oh, God.
Yeah, this went probably about as perfectly as it could have, at least from my side of things. And I'm very interested to see if SummerSlam can follow this up, because this not only stole the night, this possibly stole the weekend. They've got NXT had less matches, less time, and it was absolutely fantastic. SummerSlam's got a hard task in front of it. So we'll see if it can live up to it. But you can follow Omega, because I don't think Omega's back just yet.
You can follow Omega on YouTube, Twitter at TJ Omega. TJ Reviews on the Facebooks. He's on the Tumblr. He's on the Instagram. Go buy his stuff on the eBays. It's all information at twitter.com/TJ Omega.
Brent?
Yep, you can follow me at Kane Kittens on Twitter. I am now up to 173 straight days.
Good lord. Can't with him anymore.
1,763 days. Woot woot.
Can't with him anymore. I just...
And now 1 day older.
Yeah. How about that? 1 day older.
Yeah, NXT gave me a nice present. Thank you, NXT.
I mean, we could do this.
I'm off to go eat cake now.
Cake.
Yes.
But there you go.
Thank you, Rock.
You're welcome. I guess I should start plugging things now.
You should start plugging things.
It's at Rack Radio Show on all your favorite social media platforms. We'll be live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of Rack. You can check out the SummerSlam review show from Wrestle Talk Radio right after the pay-per-view ends tomorrow night. Raw post show is on Monday nights, 11-10 p.m. Eastern. You check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Episode 4, now available. Episode 5, now will be available on Tuesday. But coming up in an hour and a half-ish, it's another edition of CB Radio. The weird, the wacky, the unusual. We'll have the greater than gray debate. Knock knock jokes. Yep. Knock knock jokes. At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, twitch.tv/WTA Live, where you can see all of our podcasts and Fortnite content. So guess what? We're not going anywhere. We'll be back in about 5. The shooting and the forts and the stuff. There you go.
So we good?
Yeah.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as Twitter's. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, Gerwick.net, FightBoot.com, and MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, for Brent, for Omega, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here, NXT TakeOver Edition, and we will be back Thursday night with the regular show and our SummerSlam review. Till then, stick around, because in just a couple minutes we will be playing Fortnite. So, bye for now. No more dead bodies on the boulevard. Concord, you kill
WildTalkRadio.com.